house is back. We took a 2-week break, like LeBron James going down to Miami last season. But we had to regroup, watch a lot of hoops, absorb it all. I had to go to Texas to speak to James Harden, get his head on straight. But we're back. I'm Bob Johnson.
I'm Matt Baker. Bob, other podcasts, I think they do it wrong because they put out an episode a week and it takes them 31 weeks to get to podcast 31.
Yeah.
We did
ourselves some time.
Yeah, we did 30 podcasts in a month and a half.
Yeah.
So we really flew to that coveted number 31.
It felt like we could have had 31 locked and loaded if we could have predicted the first 2 weeks of basketball. You know,
here's what,
pre-recorded our comments about the first 5 days of games.
If we pre-recorded it, here's how it probably would go: something like this. It would probably go, man, Bob, the first week's been crazy. Anthony Davis and the Pelicans are undefeated.
Yeah.
They're really crushing the league. Those poor Hawks, after having the best record in the East, are now sub-500.
Yeah.
Man, this has been a weird and wacky year.
Told you so about Damian Lillard and Portland sucking.
Yeah, all that stuff. That's what we, that's how a pre-recorded Brick House would have gone.
We would have been spot on about Brooklyn sucking, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Golden State being good.
Yeah, we made a lot of predictions. Someone even tweeted at us while we were gone. At Nikki Smooth tweeted at us. Shout out to him. He said, "It's been 8 days, and I no longer know what the F anything has to do with LeBron James." So, you know, he's part of why we had to come back out of early retirement.
Does he also not know how to use Google and ESPN? I like that he
counts on us.
I like it.
He counts on us for his LeBron James news, and so we got to give it to him. In the past 2 weeks, I have to mention the felt like I lost a friend in Grantland being closed down by ESPN. Rest in peace, Grantland. I feel like previously two of my favorite writers have killed themselves, you know, like in the past 15 years, Hunter Thompson and David Foster Wallace. And,
yeah,
you know, this is not as solemn as that because the writers for Grantland will probably go on to other things.
Are still very much alive.
Yeah. 70% of them will probably work for Bill Simmons again at some capacity. But, yeah, I mean, we were just chatting with Kevin. He was saying he might take on new responsibilities at work because he just doesn't know what to do without having the Grantland articles to read.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to miss them. But we have taken some time off, but, hell, we had to come up with some whole new segments. Papa's got a brand new brick house today,
man. Yeah. Well, you learned everything you could about me, or did you?
Yeah, you are a complete open book to all of our listeners now.
Completely.
There's a couple more segments that our good friend Brendan Etter is working on the music for, and will debut in the next week or two.
Can't give it to you all at once. Can't.
Yeah, we got plenty of good ones coming up. In fact, the first one I'd want to debut today on the 31st episode of Brick House is our NBA game show, a Brick House game show.
And now here's the host of the Brick House game show, Bob Johnson.
I will see how this one goes, but I think this is something that could be a running theme. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I got some questions locked and loaded for Matt. They're not about him personally, but he is a basketball savant, like I like to consider myself, and a bunch of tough questions, though. I didn't make them easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. Are you ready, Matt?
I'm ready.
Do you need any warm-ups or anything?
No, I will not look these up on the internet. Let's do it.
No stretching. Okay. This one is a stat that was accumulated after three games. After the first three games, which NBA player recorded more shot attempts than passes? To be fair, we talked about this one.
Yeah.
This is a warm-up question,
right
here, but the stat is just so ridiculous that I wanted to make sure everyone heard it.
Is it multiple choice?
No.
I mean, I know
I'm trying to remember who you guessed the first time I told you this. Oh, I think you guessed James Harden.
Yeah. The correct answer is Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant. And we're not talking about assists. He, in the first three Lakers games, recorded more shot attempts than passes. And we'll get into Kobe a little bit more just turned off his game versus the Knicks.
That means more often than not, when he got the ball, he shot it. That's it. That's the
where
first
the play stopped.
Yeah.
Kobe has the ball. You could just run back on defense now.
Yeah. So is his usage rate like a million at that point? Isn't that what that is? Usage percentage?
Well, unless he's just getting the ball and immediately firing it up, because usage would require him to dribble around and actually hold the ball for some significant amount of time.
Okay.
Let's get on to
the next question. He is 19th in usage percentage. I just looked it up. So.
Well, that was your warm-up question.
Thank you.
You knew the answer to that one.
Thank you.
Okay, here's the next one. This one involves one of my favorite teams, the Houston Rockets. Multiple choice, Matt. Which of the following Houston Rockets has a team option on the final year of their contract? A, Dwight Howard. B, James Harden. Or C, Trevor Ariza.
A team option.
Team option.
Oh, this is tricky, because my initial reaction would be to go with Ariza.
Right.
Because he's usually the better players get the player options.
Right, yeah. So for people who don't know, the last year of a contract, they'll often give superstar players an early out, where it's a player option where they can decide they want to play one more final season or go into free agency early. Whereas a team option, it's the team's decision on whether or not they're going to get paid that final year.
So that's why I would initially go with Ariza. Not that Ariza is not a good player.
Your final answer, Matt?
I'm actually going to go with Dwight Howard on this one, because I think he had some back troubles, and he was kind of, Rockets might have wanted to hedge their bets on that one a little bit.
The Rockets might wish they had a player option on Dwight Howard, but in fact, the correct answer is James Harden.
Wow.
Yeah. And Dwight has a player option. I mean, they had to woo him away from Los Angeles.
That is true.
People were giving him whatever he wanted. Ariza has just a straight $7.4 million a year deal.
No option, just is what it is.
But James, I think, is just testament to a few years ago how nobody, including the Rockets, really knew that James Harden was going to be this good.
Yeah.
In fact, the team option is just testament that the Rockets wanted an early out clause in case paying $17 million a year for James Harden ended up being a big mistake.
And all he's averaging this year is 29.7 points a game through the first seven games.
Well, he's been averaging like 40 the last four games or so. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, okay, this one is maybe my favorite question. This one, Matt, I'm going to read you, this is similar to what they do on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I'm going to read you five headlines, and one of them is fake.
Okay.
So you got to pick out the fake one.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. First one, Gerald Green has left the team, the Heat, and checked into a hospital for, quote, undisclosed reasons.
Right.
That's headline number one. Number two, a Mario Chalmers trade makes sense for the Heat.
Okay.
Okay. Number three, Meta World Peace, proud that he led the team in plus minus tonight, added, quote, that intelligence is the reason why they call me Dr. Scientist, end quote. There's more Meta World Peace ones.
Okay.
Next one.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell says Meta World Peace is like a life coach to him on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one more world peace. Here we go. Roy Hibbert says Meta World Peace is teaching him various forms of mixed martial arts. Quote, no one messed with Ron because he was tough and crazy. Wait. Quote, no one messed with Ron because he was crazy and tough. No one messes with Meta because he's crazy and trained. Dude went to China and came back Meta World Jackie Chan, end quote.
Okay.
And the last one, Byron Scott repeats, some rookies, including D'Angelo Russell, could see reduced playing time if they don't improve soon. Quote, that wood has a way of talking to your butt, end quote. Matt, which one of these headlines is false?
Wow, that's a lot of headlines there. let's see. Can you repeat number three?
Let's review. Gerald Green, undisclosed reasons. Mario Chalmers trade makes sense. Three world peace ones. World peace Dr. Scientist, World Peace, D'Angelo Russell's life coach, World Peace, teaching Roy Hibbert martial arts, and Byron Scott saying the wood has a way of talking to your butt.
I think I'm going to go with the World Peace, D'Angelo Russell life coach.
Oh, wow. That is, in fact, a real quote. Oh, that is a real headline.
The Dr. Scientist one, that I was thinking about that, but that's just crazy enough to be true.
Dr. Scientist is also true. The fake quote was Roy Hibbert,
okay,
martial arts trained by World Peace.
Yeah, that, see.
Although I felt like it was believable.
No, you did a good job, because all the art test ones were insane. So no, that was very good.
I feel like Roy Hibbert, you know, I wanted to put some more stuff about how he was, you know, seeking out more, like, confidence, you know. But I laid it on a little too.
Yeah, you know why I should have gone with that one looking back is because that had the most detail. That was less of a headline and more of a story.
Yeah, it might become easier to point out my bullshit headline the more times we play this game.
Yeah, well, that was only the first. I'm really okay. Failing you here.
Well, it's all good. These are tough questions. I got some more tough ones for you. This one is name the player who created this quote in the first week of NBA Hoops.
Okay.
Quote, I'm just playing bad. I'm just playing awful. And to be honest with you, I can't demand anything. I'm just a big black hole right now.
Okay.
End quote.
Okay. I'm just a big black hole right now. Would that be Kobe?
You would think it was Kobe.
Yeah.
But this quote actually came from one Marcin Gortat.
Wow.
Of the Washington Wizards, of Point Break, Brick House acclaim.
Yeah.
Okay, just one more question for you here, Matt. This is a rookie question. Rookie question. This rookie is just the third player this decade with at least 70 points and 50 rebounds in their first six career games. The other two players to do this were Blake Griffin and Anthony Davis.
Ooh.
The third player this decade with at least 70 points and 50 rebounds in their first six games.
I'm going to say Okafor, because he had that 29-point game, so he got close to it.
That's a good guess.
Is it Karl Anthony Towns?
It's Chris Paps Porzingis. Made especially hard questions for you, Matt.
Were very hard. I got no correct.
They were destined to make you, you know, challenge the status quo. But now you know what sort of caliber you're going to be dealing
those
with.
Those are great. Those are great.
On the Brickcast game show. Another segment I wanted to add. I haven't prepared a cue for it yet, but I feel like here at Brick House, we should talk about twins whenever possible.
Well, we had the big homecoming for Marcus Morris to Phoenix.
Yes.
Markieff and Marcus on opposite sides, we had that.
That's exactly what I wanted to talk about. Marcus Morris was made his return to Phoenix and was booed every time he touched the ball.
Yes, as you would expect.
When asked about it after the game, he said essentially, well, let me just give you the quote. Quote, it was light. It wasn't shit. If I was in Detroit, it would have been better. If Detroit was booing somebody, it would have been way better. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know why they're booing. They're just out there booing me. It was trash. I thought it would have been a little better than that. So he's saying Phoenix fans are not good at booing.
Yeah, so he not only does he just not like Phoenix fans for anything, he adds on that they can't even boo correctly, which is just perfect.
Well, I did not get any quotes from Markieff on this one, but I think by now he might have learned to stay away. But Marcus Morris is actually part of the reason that Detroit is one of the biggest surprises so far this season.
Marcus is playing really well.
I think he's averaging 19 points a game, leading Detroit in points per game anyways.
Yeah, he's averaging 7 rebounds too, which is crazy.
Wow, Marcus Morris.
On the flip side, Markieff is averaging 13 points, 5 rebounds. So maybe Alpha Morris really was the Alpha Morris.
Matt, what do you think the possibilities are that Marcus Morris got traded to the Pistons, and Markieff was like, why don't I just go?
Oh, okay.
Well, they parent trapped him.
Well,
what do you think the odds are that they parent trapped the Detroit Pistons?
As we talked about on the Suns preview, in their early seasons, the Van Arsdale twins played right. for the Suns and switched jerseys for a game.
But they were on the same team, right?
They were on the same. So what you're proposing is that they basically switched identities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If that happened, then the Morris twins are okay in my book.
That would be the coolest story to ever break.
That would be insane. Or like halfway through the season, they switch back and Markeith's points start rising and Marcus's production starts falling.
Yeah, quote, Marcus Morris is in the Detroit shower and some birthmark like that's painted on is coming off. The guy's yeah. like, hey, what's that?
Oh. then he just stops showering with. He's like, Marcus doesn't shower with us anymore.
When I was a kid, I tried to convince my friend that that Kevin Willis was in fact Patrick Ewing, who was just playing twice as many NBA games a year, and he would just play a Knicks game and then fly down to Atlanta and pretend to be Kevin Willis and play in Hawks games too.
Right, right.
But he was sabotaging whatever team Kevin Willis played for by, looking like Patrick Ewing but being way shittier than him.
And that was back in the days of no internet and not a lot of...
Oh, yeah. Well, so, it was a way for me to trade my Kevin Willis cards for his Michael Jordan cards. Yeah,
kids are always looking for that edge.
Had to fight an angle.
Well, in 93-94, that would make sense because Kevin Willis averaged 19 points a game.
Yeah.
So that's very bizarro Ewing. Not bizarro Ewing, but twin Ewing numbers there.
Yeah.
He averaged 19 points, 12 rebounds. So that makes sense.
Yeah, we were just playing around with theme songs, but this twin theme song, a little sneak peek, may involve the line, two of us from the same uterus.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited to get in the recording studio as soon as possible. Yeah. Brendan, I hope you're listening. Get ready.
That's a good one.
This next segment is inspired by one of my favorite television shows of all time, Seinfeld. So let's just call this segment,
What's the Deal With...
What's the Deal With Mo Williams is what I wanted to bring
up. Oh, yes, Mo Williams. What is the deal with Mo Williams, Bob?
Okay, so Mo Williams signed with the Cleveland Cavaliers this offseason.
Yes, reunited with LeBron.
And I don't remember what number Mo Williams used to wear, whether he was on Cleveland or even last year.
Would you like to know?
Sure.
His first go-around with the Cavs, he was number two.
Okay.
Last year with the Hornets, he was 7, and with the T-Wolves, he was 25.
25, okay.
Okay, so you could see 25, 2 plus 5 is 7.
Yep.
Okay, and so most of his career, he's been 25.
25.
Okay.
This year, with the Cavs, he is chosen the number 52.
That's not...
What it is, that not only is it the inverse of 25...
Correct.
But I recalled... Upon seeing this number and him playing for the Cavs, to start the season, that last year with the Timberwolves, he was one of the guys who scored 50-plus points in the NBA that everyone was just like, oh, wow, the surprise 50 points, sort of like Corey Brewer the year before,
yeah.
Which I think was also on the T-Wolves.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so I had to look it up, but I had a sneaking suspicion that 50-plus point game was, in fact, 52 points that he scored on Minnesota. And in fact, it was. And while I don't have any evidence to support this, I postulate that Mo Williams has chosen the number 52 for his number on Cleveland so that no one will forget that at one point in an NBA game, he scored 52 points. Because it's certainly not going to happen sharing the court with Kevin Love, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, even... Tristan Thompson, is going to want to get his before Mo Williams this year. But he wants us all to remember that he's number 52, which got me thinking, what if everybody could choose an accomplishment to wear on their shirt at all times.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
But let's say I figured you have to make it like a minimal thing you can put on there. Otherwise, pretty much everyone's shirt would end up looking similar to their Facebook page or their OkCupid profile.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Just a bunch of bullshit no one cares about. But if you just had to put it down to one thing.
Yeah.
You know, what sort of things would people wear on their shirts?
That'd be really interesting.
A couple of guesses as to what we might
see. Lay them on me, Bob.
Well, one thing I assume that men would do is put, like, their salary across their chest. You know, if they made a significant amount of money. Probably guys who made a lot of money wouldn't do it, but I imagine someone in the range of about 150.
I was just going to say 150 sounds like a perfect number of someone to do
I
that.
I could totally see some douchebag in an Ed Hardy shirt that just said 150K across the front of
right.
it. You know,
right, because
that's going to get him BJs or something.
Because it's not so much money that everyone's floored, but it's a lot more money than a lot of people you're surrounded by.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some other examples I thought of had a threesome with twins.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that would be something that people would, you know, brag about.
The Morris twins.
Wow, that was not what I was expecting, but sure.
You open the door.
Another one inserted a USB drive correctly on the first try.
Yeah.
That I would be proud of that myself.
That's a good one.
Homecoming king.
Okay.
I mean, that guy, he's probably... You know, peaked around that point.
Don't even remember who Homecoming King was in my high school.
Gave Sarah Cooper her first orgasm, according to her. I think there would be two guys that have that shirt, you know, about Sarah Cooper. Famous for doing porn. That's
you made
shirt.
Up Sarah Cooper.
Sarah Cooper. Oh, she's out there.
Yeah. Kardashian.
You're listening. You know, a lot of things would probably really conflict with people's, like, value systems. Like, a lot of things that people would be proud about, other people wouldn't give a shit about at all. You
yeah.
know, like, winning any sort of video game tournament or fantasy league or, like, knitting competition.
Yeah.
Or doing, you know, inane things like, or things that don't require that much skill, like seeing Niagara Falls or doing 30 NBA preview podcasts.
Yeah, that's a good one. That would be a great shirt for some lovely individuals to wear.
Yeah, my whole family's getting them for Christmas. But we get it, Mo Williams. You scored 52 points once. Thanks for making sure. We never forget it.
That was a good one. I like that.
That's the what's the deal with section. So a segment we're definitely going to highlight each week is a segment appropriately named, I hope, called
Game of the Week.
Game of the Week. Well, this week, I think we all know what this week's Game of the Week is, Bob.
Do we? Yeah, I bet we agree. It's kind of like more similar to a soap opera or a telenovela, really, than an NBA basketball game, but it's got a lot of drama.
You know, I'm willing to go co-Game of the Weeks here.
Yeah, it's a double ESPN doubleheader on Wednesday. Let's just come out with it. The Clippers are going to play in Dallas for the first time. Since DeAndre's decision or indecision,
ooh.
2015.
Yeah.
He's going to see Chandler Parsons. I don't know if they've spoken since the last incident.
Well, they spoke a lot that week. They had dinner with each other every night.
Extensively.
So, yeah, so I'm not sure how much speaking they have to do now.
Yeah, DeAndre is returning to Dallas the same night San Antonio is making their trip to Portland. So we got LaMarcus Aldridge back in Oregon, and DeAndre back in Texas.
You know, the DeAndre Jordan Dallas thing was just weird because we hadn't seen it really happen like that. But what people forget is the LaMarcus Aldridge Portland saga wasn't much less weird. Much less weird. I don't think that's Aldridge. That was not a very clean breakup either.
It was cleaner than the DeAndre thing, but yeah, he definitely, he said all the right things. He said he wanted to be a Blazer for life.
Yeah.
He wanted to be the best Blazer of all time. He was, you know, he learned from what all the other free agents who, you know, made the mistake of saying they were considering someone else while they're still under contract with their current team. That hasn't gone well for anybody. Hasn't gone well for anybody at all. So yeah, Wednesday, November 11th, check that out. If you're listening to this after the 11th, well, listen to the next one sooner and you'll find out what the game of the week is.
Yeah. Do you have any predictions for those games, how they'll go?
Oh, yeah. I assume the teams that won the free agent contest are going to win the game.
Okay, there you go. That's the hard-hitting, cutting-edge analysis.
Yeah, the teams that got the better players from the other team, yeah, they're going to win, even though they're both on the road.
Yeah. I would like to talk about some opening week stat lines for a couple players.
Yeah, please.
Are you interested in that?
Please.
We touched on him a bit earlier because we said he opened the season shooting 1 for 400,
uh-huh,
or whatever you said about James Harden. I was looking, and this isn't like a mind-blowing, this is how good James Harden is stat. It's more of a, it's just amazing to me. Okay, so I'll read a few of his stats, then I'll get to the big one. So he's averaging, granted, only 7 games in, he's averaging 21.6 field goal attempts per game. Which is gigantic. He's averaging 10.7 three-point attempts per game.
Oh, my gosh.
He's averaging 12.7 free throw attempts per game. Here's the big one. He already has 22 more free throw attempts than anyone else in the league, 7 games in.
Wow.
That we talked before about how he shot more free throws than anyone last year by a wide margin.
Yeah.
He's 22 free throws more in only 7 games is a giant margin already.
Wow.
And he's averaging 29.7 points, 5.7 assists, 5.9 rebounds. Now, granted, there's been a lot of injuries. Dwight Howard missed a game. Beverly's out. Jones is out. Monte Yunus is out, even though he wouldn't really affect Harden's stats. But Harden's already going for it. He's going to shoot himself. He's trying to shoot himself to the MVP.
The eye test from watching the Rockets games, the first 3 games they lost by 20 points each.
Yes.
And it looked like they were trying to run some sort of offense that they had worked on in the offseason, in spring training or whatever they call it, in the preseason. And then after those 3 games, it seemed like they abandoned it in favor of what they did last year, which was give the ball to James Harden and get out of the way. And they started winning basketball games against tough opponents, too. Beat the Thunder and the Clippers in the past 3 games.
Yeah, they were starting out real slow and real scary. The next one I want to get to here is Andre Drummond.
Oh, yeah.
18.6 points, 19 rebounds a game.
Oh, my gosh.
That's insane.
It's like Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem.
Drummond at 19 points, even if he keeps it up at 16 points, will be on pace for a season that, in the past 30 years, only four other people have seen.
Dwight's not even on that
list. Dwight's not even on that list.
Wow, yeah.
So Drummond, he's just playing out of his mind. It's great. I would love to see him keep that up.
Well, we're getting down to one of the last segments of the show for today. Matt, this is probably the first time you're going to hear this, but let me know what you think.
That is great.
Basically, this section is just highlight something that the media is definitely overreacting to, or we could debate the merits of whether or not it's time to panic.
Okay.
Matt, do you think it's time for the Memphis Grizzlies to panic yet?
Overreaction. I know they lost by 50 to the Warriors.
Yeah, at home.
At home. The reason I say overreaction is the Grizzlies aren't a championship team. Okay. I don't think they are. I think they are a team that could.
Their window is closed.
I don't know if their window is closed. I just don't. I just think in reality that they're not one of the top contenders.
Uh-huh.
Losing by 50 is terrible. I guess you should panic about that. But it's 7 games in. So we've been talking about all these good things like Drummond getting all these points and all these rebounds. But it's only 7 games in. You're 3-4. They've been talking about, the owner came out and said that even Jaeger is on the hot seat, the coach, that they might have to do a major overhaul.
Yeah, wow.
If you're going to do that, then you'd commit to it. Someone would take Randolph away. Someone would take Conley. trade him. My point is, if you're going to panic, then you go a full out panic. Only if it's seven games, I don't think you should panic. I think you are good enough to be a playoff team over the course of the season. I don't think you're a championship team, but as far as what your team is, it's not time to panic. But if you want to panic, you go full out panic.
So I think in our preview, we had him at sixth in the West.
Right.
Do you think that they'll finish there, below there, above there?
Yeah, well, they're only one game out of sixth place, one and a half games out of sixth place.
It's very early.
Yeah, the team that should panic is the Pelicans. I think you start 0-6. When you're 0-6, now you have 70. Now you have 76 games to win 46.
Yeah.
Right. You have to go 46-30 over your next 76 games.
Yeah, it's like the Thunder started off so poorly last year.
Right, and it
dug himself a big hole.
0-6. I would panic if I was the Pelicans.
Yeah.
But the Pelicans, they have Tyreke Evans is out. They also have another injury, right?
Drew Holiday missed the first couple of games. Nate Robinson even started at point guard for them.
He started the opening game, then got cut the next day.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was crazy. Wow. He started and then got waived. But I think that...
So they got Ish Smith now.
Yeah, Ish Smith plays a ton of minutes. They signed Tony Douglas. He's been playing a ton of minutes. I would say the Grizzlies shouldn't panic. The Pelicans should panic.
Yeah.
Both of these teams, I don't think the Pelicans are a championship team right now either, but they're considerably less likely to make the playoffs than the Grizzlies, I think, at this point. Just because 0-6 is daunting to start out with.
Not looking good for him. Looking good. But we'll check in with him next week and overreact to something else.
I would say the Nets should panic because they're 0-7. But you know what? I don't think Prokhorov has panicked a day in his life.
I don't think they have any hope that they could even pretend to, you know, look for. No silver lining to their season. They're terrible, and they have no draft picks for the next, like, 4 years.
Yeah, Jarrett Jack is, like, their top producer right now.
And this besides morning, Brooke I Lopez. Just saw Lopez left the game with a sore foot last night.
Oh, well, so. Okay, there you go.
I don't think they can do worse than losing every game, but we'll see if they try.
Yeah, next year the Celtics get the next Nets pick.
Oh, they have a pick swap with the Celtics, like, the next 3 years.
Yeah, so the only reason the Nets – yeah, you're right. The Nets shouldn't panic because what are they going to panic about? They're screwed either way, so.
On the next episode of Brick House.
Oh, my preview is by the time we have our next episode, Steve Kerr is going to have to rush back to join the Warriors before Luke Walton just decides to insert himself into the starting lineup. You know, he's citing that it looks like too much fun that he can't get out there and lace it up.
Yeah.
And they're beating teams by 25 points a game, so maybe he'll make it a little more even, you know, if old dancing skeletons Luke gets out there on the floor and shows off that Grateful Dead tattoo one more time.
Well, I look forward to a long, productive Luke Walton coaching career because
I thought you were going to say a long, strange Luke Walton coaching career.
Yeah, that and all that too. But also, with Luke Walton's back problems, in 20 years we might see him in the super tall Phil Jackson chair.
Oh yeah,
you know all that stuff. I think it's gonna be great to see that replicated. And they're both kind of hippie-ish, you know. So he's fallen in that path.
Yeah, he's gonna have to get pretty full of himself to be able to sit 7 feet above everybody else like Phil, though.
Yeah, and since Phil is almost 7 feet tall himself, that's like 14 feet in the air.
Well, it's so good to be back on the Brick House podcast. We won't keep people waiting so long the next time, I hope, but no promises. Hey, if you want to sponsor the show, maybe you could have some demands of the hosts. But until then, we'll just do it our way, like old Frankie S. Anyways, great talking to you, Matt. Look forward to next time.
Always a pleasure, Bob.
See you on the next episode of Brick House. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.